Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with a weekly look at the world of non-league football. This week, it's the FA Vars third round, the last 64 indeed, and we talk to Philonets, wearing his at FA Vars Fat Far hat, about the big stats, the facts and insight about the 32 ties taking place this Saturday and Sunday. We also speak to one of the Step 6 managers who travelled to Step 5 hosts in the competition, hoping to cause another upset in this season's competition. Having beaten other favourite opposition to get to this stage and having remained unbeaten so far in their combined counties league fixtures, there's plenty of reasons for Wallingford Town boss Lee Matthews to be confident. Rounding off the show, David Richardson, senior writer of the non-league paper, returns to discuss the look of the FA Cup third round TV coverage with the four remaining non-league sides not getting a look in, the FA Vars and the National League, plus what we can expect in this weekend's edition of the non-league paper. Much to come. Sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So it's the third round of the FA Vars this weekend. That's the last 64. 32 ties as the final edges ever closer. £1,125, I believe, for the winners, as well as a fourth round spot, and £350 for the losing team to help offset some of the costs, anyway, of taking part in this round. But none of those taking part will be hoping for that loser's FA Cup, FA Vars check. The aim is progression in this competition for the Step 5 and Step 5 clubs looking to fulfil that Wembley dreams. There's much to know, much to learn, and there's only one man that can help. With his at FA Vars Fat Far hat on, it's a warm welcome back to the Non-League Football Show for Mr. Philonets. Welcome back, Phil.
Hi, Tim. Always a pleasure to come and talk to you.
Well, it's almost like my Thursday ritual now. It's like I feel like you heal my soul you get me excited again about the magic of non-league football, the magic of the cup competitions that we it's so much enjoy. I mean, just reading that this is the last 64 pricks the hairs up on your arm. The competition really is beginning to heat up.
It is. I mean, as I've said before, anyone who's still in it has every chance of winning it as much as anyone else in it. And we have 21 of those 64. So what's that? About a third of the clubs have never even gone beyond this round before. So there's opportunities for new clubs to have a new experience in the competition. And many of those are already setting record runs for the clubs by being in third round in the first place.
And it's those sort of history making bits that set a club on its way, don't it? It's the reason that, you know, maybe a young kid may follow their local club for years to come because they've had success in competitions like this. Yeah, well, one of those ties making history where neither club have gone past it this round before, I think, was the Northwest Counties South against Northwest Counties North game, Alderhay and Bury AFC. You know, clubs with contrasting histories, you know, short and long, but that's the magic of this competition.
Yeah, so not only are they have the opportunity to get through to the fourth round for the first time, it's a good test to see a North versus South division encounter to see which is stronger. But also, that's the only tie where it guarantees a Step 6 club will make it through to the fourth round. So there's 15 Step 6 clubs still going, and we've got one definitely through as a consequence of that match.
Yeah, and I love the fact that, you know, we get clubs, you know, competing against clubs from their own league, you know, different divisions. You know, one tie between clubs from the same league and same division is the Coventry Derby this weekend.
Yeah, it's the first ever time that two Coventry clubs have met in the FA Vars, as Coventry Sphinx host Coventry United. They were also the first Coventry clubs to ever meet in the FA Cup just a couple of seasons ago, which I think was won by Coventry Sphinx. So Coventry United will be looking to try and avenge that defeat.
Yeah, and as ever, it's just an amazing, interesting selection of games, both Saturday and Sunday this weekend. And I think I counted up that there's at least three repeats of ties from last season.
Yeah, not just repeats from last season, but also that all three of those were settled on penalties. So you've got Walsall Wood and against Anstey Nomads, Littlehampton Town are taking on Sheppey United, and Brockenhurst versus Street, where the second name team in all of those ties is looking to avenge a tight defeat from last season.
And yeah, I'd imagine that there's a number of players as well that played in those games. You know, it's a personal match as well, that these sort of ties.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if you're coming up against opposition you lost to, and they stopped you having a great run in the competition, you want to put that right this season if you can.
Yeah, and we mentioned there about the, you know, clubs playing across different leagues, different divisions, and it's always interesting for me to look across the leagues and the clubs see where they're currently playing. For me, one standout this round is the strength currently in the Wessex League. Three clubs are very local to me. At home, you've got Bashley, you've got New Milton Town and Brockenhurst, all still in the competition this weekend, all from the Wessex League, which was one of the league's least impacted by the recent restructuring. I think that maybe says a lot about continuity within a club.
Perhaps, yeah. Definitely, I don't know enough about the league structure and the players that are involved in it, but it you know, if there hasn't been any changes to their makeup, then yeah, there may well be a distinct amount of continuity that means that they build on from one season to the next.
Yeah, and building is what the FA Vars is all about. As I say, you can start building reputations, start building fan bases you move further towards that Wembley final. You do find suddenly the local interest picks up. As ever, Phil, you're the man in the know. Is there one particular stat or fact that we should be have ringing in our ears ahead of this weekend?
Well, we've got three clubs who are still in their debut FA Vars campaign still going. Sheffield Town and Campton is one, but the other two, Berks County and Buckhurst Hill, are joint top scorers in the competition as well. Two step six clubs in the competition for the first time and taking to it like a duck to water. So both of those and Sheffield themselves all looking to try and continue their debut campaigns in the competition.
And again, I guess players are looking to make a name for themselves there as well. Phil, are you off to watch any games this weekend? We've got games on Saturday and on Sunday.
Yeah, I haven't finalised exactly where I'm going. My local team, Wallingford Town, are travelling all the way down to Tunbridge Wells with a view to hopefully trying to get through to the fourth round for the first time ever. Even the original Wallingford Town never managed to get that far. So it's fantastic that my local club is still involved, and I am debating about trying to get down to that game.
Yeah, and I couldn't let you go without discussing the FA Cup third round. We've got four non-league clubs featuring at the turn of the year, but not one of them have been given the TV spotlight with the announcement earlier today.
Yeah, that is really, really disappointing by the people who've chosen which games to show. Selecting all Premiership ties, you know, that they're basically going to be Premiership in name only, because the two all Premiership ties both happen to be league games less than a week later. So I can't imagine that any of the sides involved with that will risk any first team players taking part. So it's in name only. And for non-league clubs who have got this far to the third round to be overlooked by those who purport to say that they are showing the magic of the FA Cup just seems a little bit wrong and doesn't sit quite right. And they'll still open their show with the Hereford United game beating Newcastle and talking about how fantastic the competition is for little teams, and then just ignore them completely. I think it's a real shame.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've rose-tinted glasses or whatever. We'd always, you know, say that we prefer to watch a non-league club in the third round of the FA Cup. But I look at those ties as well, and even compared to previous years, I think there's more opportunity for cup sets than ever before. I guess Chesterfield was trending on Twitter the fact that they didn't get an FA Cup TV tie, but even the hardcore Chesterfield fans are probably not expecting a win at Chelsea. But no. What a great day to show the magic of the FA Cup if that was on TV. But Kidderminster Reading, you've got the non-league team at home, and also Yeovil Bournemouth. Where we've spoken about Yeovil's cup set credibility in the past.
Yeah, exactly.
And also Boreham Wood AFC Wimbledon with the Luke Garrard connection there as well.
Yeah, there's a belief, I think, amongst the TV schedulers that the bigger the names that they have for these FA Cup games, the bigger the audience. But I think the truth of the matter is that people watch the games because it's the FA Cup, not because it's two big teams. And so they would get as much audience if they show Man United Aston Villa as they would if they showed Yeovil versus Bournemouth or Kidderminster versus Reading. The only difference being is that showing those non-league clubs gives those non-league clubs a bit of a financial boost that is just pocket money to the top league teams who it makes no difference to. So it's a real shame. It's the same, they do this every year, but this year just seems even worse than normal.
Yeah, it does sort of leave a little bit of a damp there. I mean, hopefully, some of our non-league teams can create those upsets, and we'll talk to you nearer the time about that. But and then maybe get an opportunity in the fourth round or maybe a replay or something like that, and just show why non-league action in the FA Cup is so magical. Phil. Again, before you disappear, I ought to get you to mention about that perfect stocking filler for everybody up and down the country. FA Cup 150, your book that I've had the pleasure to thumb through probably more than any other book this year, and I've done a fair bit of reading this year, and I there's still things that sort of amaze me or sort of entertain me for sure every time I pick it up. So remind people where they can pick up a copy of FA Cup 150.
Okay, well, the FA Cup 150 book does celebrate the 150th anniversary of the competition, and it is full of facts and stats about the competition. Those that you'd expect to be in there, like the most wins and the biggest scores and all the rest of those feats, but also full of the kind of stuff I produce on a weekly basis that covers the competition from top to bottom. And you can get hold of that from my website, facutfatfile.co.uk/shop.
And I guess remind everybody where else so they can follow you and find out about current FA VARs fact files, because you've reviewed every single one of the games this weekend and the FA Cup fact files.
Yeah, so on Twitter, FA Cup fact file covers the FA Cup, of course, and the equivalent FA VARs fact file covers this weekend's FA VARs tournament, where you can get a preview of all 32 ties on my WordPress FA Cup factfile.com site, but you can access that through my FA VARs fact file Twitter account.
And there's plenty of stuff that we haven't been able to cover on this show as well to read about there. So, Phil Annetts, thanks again for your input on the Non-League Football Show. We'll speak to you again very soon.
Cheers, Tim. Always a pleasure.
So let's chat to one of those Step 6 managers in the FA VARs this weekend, and a club mentioned by Phil Annetts in his roundup just then. Currently fifth in the Combined Counties Division 1 with a bundle of games in hand because of their cup success. Wallingford Town have a tough trip down to Tunbridge Wells on Saturday, but one I'm sure they're all looking forward to. Let's find out from the man himself, manager at Wallington Town, Lee Matthews. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show, Lee.
Hi there, thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to get you on. FA VARs, last 64. I've already said that just those words, for me, they make the hair stand up on your arms. What about for you?
Yeah, exactly. For us, it's great to have gone this far already in the competition. It's a great competition to be involved in. And, every round has been exciting and had lots of entertainment, let's say.
Yeah, you say about those previous rounds. We always say clubs that go on to success in the FA Vase, there's always a story behind the way that they've got there. And you know, there's a few tales that will be told for years to come, whether you win Saturday or not.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, from the early extra preliminary round all the way through to the last round, the second round, you know, there's been stories throughout the game. 4-2 down at Bishop's Cleeve in the 90th minute, and then, you know, going to penalties, having a goalkeeper getting injured in the training, and then having to swap keepers, changing a centre back to go in goal for penalties, you know, against Ascot. And then the last round beating a side that are just freely scoring goals this year in North Greenford. It's been a great journey and lots of stories and lots of memories to cherish and tell for many years.
But it is those little incidents and things like that help build your team as well. And you know, that's an important thing about an FA Vase run, is that you've got a group of players that are united and all together. I sense that you've got that within your dressing room.
Yeah, absolutely. The lads are fantastic, to be honest. There's great togetherness within the group. I'm very lucky to have a really good, strong sort of management set up behind me with my assistant managers, coaches and everything. And the lads that were already at Wallingford when I took over in the summer were very good lads. And the ones that we brought into the group bonded well with them. And they've all brought into everything that we wanted straight away. And the desire and togetherness is really strong. And that can, you know, be seen on the pitch, definitely.
And I think that probably says a lot about your methods and the guys that you've got around you as you're on your coaching side, that you've come in the summer and then you're having this great run already in the FA Vase, that the guys have been able to take to you and create that unit to get these results.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Wallingford's a local club for me. It's about sort of 5 miles from where I live. So it's the closest club that I've managed in terms of, you know, where I live. And the management team have worked with me before. David was with me at previous clubs. And then Jacob and Ollie, our goalkeeping coach, joined us this summer. We've got a very good sort of tight-knit group amongst ourselves. And then we've got a very good physio as well. And just that sort of, if you like, reflects and sort of bleeds into the players. And the players are hungry for it. We're hungry for it. And there's just a nice feel. You know, everybody, you go to training with a buzz. You come away from training with a buzz. And you sort of find it hard to switch off, really, because it is such a good group, such a good atmosphere. And everybody is sort of working hard. And you know, we joked in the last round against North Greenford, we didn't finish training on the Thursday, I think, till about 10:45. We were out on the training pitch for a long time, but everybody is so sort of so together. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody wants to do well. The league is obviously a big focus for us, and we've got games in hand, as you mentioned, and we're still technically unbeaten at the minute, which is great. But this Vase sort of run is kind of like a fairy tale dream, if you like. And we would just love it to continue, basically.
Yeah, and particularly, as you say, you're a local lad yourself. You've had management experience yourself. But I recall reading your comments when you first took on the job there at Wallingford, you know, saying about it was always a club that you'd followed, kept an eye on because it was local to you. But you also... You said that as soon as you spoke to the chairman, you knew he was somebody you would be happy working for. I assume that's continued, but what's the magic ingredient of that relationship?
I think because Glenn was, a manager himself not very long ago, and his, if you like, he's a very understanding guy, a very realistic guy. He doesn't put unnecessary pressure. Although he might now, we've done so well, you know, next season. But we just got on really well. It's one of those relationships with when I spoke to him, when he messaged me to come over, if you like, and have a chat. We just clicked and got on straight away. He's just a thoroughly good guy. So you kind of get a feel about people. He's a great character and a really nice guy. And he wants the club to do well, his visions for the club for the future, and what he wants to do, and, you know, and how he wanted me to be a part of that, really sort of enticed me to sort of say, yes, please, I'd absolutely love the job, you know.
That was going to be my next question, actually. I was just like, tell us about Wallingford and what it was that excited you about joining the club, because I'm sure you would have had other offers, you know, since you'd left Abingdon.
Yeah, I mean, Abingdon Town was a real sad story, a club with a lot of history, and only went there just before the second lockdown, or whatever lockdown it was, last sort of December. And then, unfortunately, it got bought out by new owners. So that was kind of it was probably only ever going to be a stopgap thing to the end of that season, but that season never got completed anyway. But, you know, Wallingford, as I say, is local to me in terms of travel. It's a club I've always kept an eye on, and when the opportunity sort of come up, really, it was a no-brainer for me, definitely. In terms of, yes, there was other conversations had, but, you know, this was sort of, if you like, a club from the outside that I'd always admired. And, you know, I guess at times when opportunities come up, this one sort of jumped straight to the front of the queue, really, for sure.
Yeah. Now, so Saturday, you've got Tunbridge Wells of the Southern Counties East Football League in the Premier there, the Step 5. They host you on Saturday. They're a side with great Vars pedigree themselves. The runners-up, I think, in 2013. What sort of preparation and research have you been able to do on them ahead of this game?
Well, we know we're the underdogs, and, you know, in all honesty, we have been in every single round so far. You know, we haven't had an easy draw at all. We've had teams that are flying in their league, free scoring, top goal scorers in their leagues, you know. Tunbridge, I was able to go and watch them a couple of weeks ago. Me and my management team went and watched them. So we've done a little scouting, which we've done every round so far, to be honest, in the Vars. Yeah. I have a couple of friends as well that, you know, were able to sort of give me little snippets of information, and which, again, I've had each sort of each round. They're a good side. You know, their gaffer's got them drilled well. They're very well organised. And for sure, it'll be a tough game, you know, not only because they get big crowds there, they have fantastic support, and it's a lovely setup. And you know, I think definitely it will be a very tough game, you know, for us travelling over there.
Yeah.
But we are prepared. We have done certain things that we've sort of looked on and worked on in training that we hope will be, if you like, beneficial to us. But at the same time, you've got to be true to your own values and play the way that you're playing and your style and how you want to, if you like, influence the game. So we've had some little bits that we've amended and thrown in, but, you know, we're being very true to our way at the same time.
Well, as you said, you know, unbeaten in the league. You're doing so well in this competition, you know, knocking out high level opposition and a more fancied side. So I'm sure they'll be concerned about you and sort of doing their own homework on you. But you're at the north of the combined counties catchment, really, I guess. But this is a bit of a longer trip than your guys would normally be used to. So any special preparations to make sure that come 3 p.m. that everybody's 100% when that first whistle goes?
The biggest thing, really, was just mainly because our coach will be leaving quite early. It's quite a trek, like you say. It's about 2.5 hour journey, and we in the last round when North Greenford travelled to us, they had problems with their coach. Ascot had trouble with traffic, so we've sort of allowed ourselves extra time, if you like, in terms of our preparations to allow for any little hiccups or traffic on the M25, really. The main thing really was about just how the lads sort of you know, get a decent, balanced pre-match sort of meal in, really, because obviously most of that time we'll be travelling. So we've done a few bits of preparation, and we've got a good local coach company, Tappins Coaches, who have taken us in their executive travel. So we're well prepared. The lads will be well looked after on the journey, and hopefully it won't seem seem too long, or hopefully we won't get too held up anyway.
Yeah. We've spoken already this week about the value of a great FA Vars run in building a club, in building a support base, and also a legacy. But you touched on it there. Where does this fall in priorities for you and for the club this season?
That's a good question, to be honest with you. In terms of priority, if you'd said to me, Lee, at the start of the season, you can end up at Wembley in the FA Vars final, or you can be promoted, you know, then I would have took the promotion, because, you know, our aim, our target, if you like, was to push on to a step five side within a couple of seasons. That was my sort of own personal target, and one that the chairman sort of shared quietly with me as well. But yeah, I mean, you know, this is a fairy tale competition. So, you know, I haven't allowed myself to dream that far yet of walking out at Wembley, let's say. And I don't think we're anywhere near that at this moment in time. As I say, we've got a very good side in Tunbridge to take on first, and then lots more rounds after that. But it would be amazing, but realistically we're level headed. We're just taking it one game at a time, and focusing hard on that game, and then focusing on getting back to league action before Christmas and trying to get some of those games in hand sort of turned into points on the table, really.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that you know, there's always that one game at a time cliche that comes into it, but realistically you are just a handful of wins away from Wembley. It sort of had some sort of added edge to your thoughts. So, is there maybe a bit of psychology that you now need to play with? You're about to go into, let you run away in a minute to go to training for the last training session before you see the lads on Saturday. Yeah. Do you need to get them distracted away from the bigger picture, and that they need to concentrate on this one game? And if you do, how do you go about that?
No, not really. They're very focused on this one game. I must say they're a good bunch. We've got a good mixture of sort of experience and youth, and in terms of how we prepare for this game is really no different to a league game, because every game is important. But obviously, because we have done the little bit of scouting, we've got some, you know, some little bits extra that we tend to put in for these games. But really, the lads are focused. They know, you know, it's kind of a one-off game. It's kind of a give your all and see what happens sort of thing, you know, have no regrets on the day. And, you know, if we're fortunate enough again, and a little bit of lady luck on your side, which you need along the way, then who knows? But in terms of any difference from a league game, no, not really. You know, training tonight, we'll be working hard again, like we do every training session. We put a lot on what we do, so that what we do, we get it right, and trying to make the quality, if you like, as best as it can be, you know.
And I think that little bit of lady luck, sometimes you create your own by putting in all that hard work. One last one from me. I mentioned the league, and you've mentioned it as well, that game in hand, you're unbeaten there. It's a 40-game league season, and you are only 14 of those games in. Have your pitchers are going to come into play soon? You're going to maybe add to your squad, because if you go on an FA Vars run, you know, it's going to become difficult. Have you got the resources to be able to add to that squad? And then how do you build a side that can take you on in both competitions?
I'm quite lucky in that respect, to be honest. At the start of the season, sadly, Wallingford's reserve side folded because their manager left, and the new chairman wasn't able to get it all put together in time. So the reserve side ended up folding. But because of two reasons, really. Number one, because of COVID. And number two, because I always like to have a slightly larger squad. We put together a big squad anyway. And everybody in that squad is together as one. People, we do have a little bit of movement in terms of rotation in games, in league and stuff. So everybody is kind of chomping at the bit, if you like, to try and make their impact and to get those minutes. So squad-wise, we've got a good squad, a big squad. You know, as I say, we made it bigger because we were conscious and worried of things like COVID and isolation, and we didn't want to be caught out it's great that in the combined counties league, you can actually use five from five in terms of subs. So that makes it great as well, because you can, if you want to, if you see it fit to, you can use up to five substitutions, which in a lot of leagues, like when Wallingford were in the Hellenic and stuff, you know, you can't. So that helps keep people happy. It helps keep a bigger squad. In terms of, we've only got a couple of lads at adults for Saturday, but you know, they're not necessarily major doubts. So we're in good shape in terms of going forward. Keeping everybody together is key. Keeping the harmony, keeping the squad that we've got, and if we do need to add to it, which we probably will, without giving too much away, within the next month or so. We did say we'd meet in December and discuss from then on what we need, if we need anything. So we will probably add one or two to it in early part of the new year to freshen it up, sort of thing. But no, the squad's great. It's a good size, and I'm happy, you know, happy with what I've got.
And it sounds like you're doing an even grander job than with a slightly wider squad and keeping everybody happy. But Lee, I better let you go, get off out to training and prepare for this big game on Saturday. Best of luck in the FA Vasa and in the combined counties this season. Thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
No problem at all. Thanks for having us. Take care.
So let's round off this week's news. Time to head on over to Non-League Papers Towers as ever. So welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. A senior writer at the Non-League Paper, Mr. David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. Good. We missed you last week. Trying to obviously Mac kept us up to date with everything that was going on, but it's good to have you back on, particularly with you know, news of the FA Cup third round. We had some great ties last weekend to get to this stage. We had the third round draw this week, and then the announcement earlier today, we're recording this on Thursday, of the TV games, but no TV games for the non-league contingent. It was a little bit disappointing. I don't know whether that's our rose-tinted spectacles or not, but I felt, you know, at least one of them would have been given a shout.
Yeah, massively disappointing, really. Particularly when you look at sort of some of the games that have been picked. I think Swindon against Manchester City is fair enough, and probably sort of maybe Millwall against Crystal Palace, that sort of London derby. But then, you know, you look at sort of Hull City against Everton as the 5:30 Saturday night game on BBC One, and you know, that's where it's a little bit sort of disappointing, really. I think, particularly when you've got, yeah, Kidderminster at home to Reading, or you've got Chesterfield going to Chelsea, Bournemouth at home to Wimbledon. I mean, there's good interest there, and also Yeovil against Bournemouth, which is sort of somewhat of a South Coast sort of clash, really. So
yeah, I think that's the one that surprised me the most, really, because yeah, we discussed I think last week Yeovil's credibility as in sort of knocking out Football League sides over the years when they've been in non-league, and they've got this great record, and then you say it's a bit of a South Coast derby there. It looks like, yeah, an ideal one, even if it's not the Saturday evening game, I've got family that are Everton fans. I'm not sure they want to rush home for Hull against Everton on a Saturday evening. But it just sort of knocks a little bit of the magic out. We've got four clubs into the third round again this year. And I suppose the one positive, as I saw, I think one of the Chesterfield fans tweeting, was that there won't be so many scouts being able to cherry pick the best of non-league from these games.
Yeah, it's sort of kind of a surprise, sort of seeing that broadcast schedule being released, but also sort of not a surprise in a way, because you know, you kind of always feel that, like you said, sort of maybe it's our sort of non-league bias coming through, but you always sort of feel that, you know, the lower levels aren't sort of looked after, really, and I guess it feels that way again. But yeah, I think particularly with three non-league clubs sort of all at home. And the other one, you know, Chesterfield going to Chelsea, you sort of thought it was sort of a given, really, that at least one of them would be on. I mean, I don't know when the last time no non-league teams were shown on TV in the third round, but you know, I can't recall when that last sort of happened. Maybe, you know, maybe it was sooner than I think, but you know, certainly it does seem a strange one, really, and yeah, disappointing for those for those clubs not to be able to really sort of cash in on that broadcast money that they would have got had they been one of the live games. But yeah, such is life. Hopefully one gets to the fourth round and they can't be ignored.
Well, hopefully not. Yeah, and interesting to, you know, it shows the power of non-league and that little bit of magic as well. Because when that announcement was made, Chesterfield was actually trending on Twitter. I didn't see any trends for Chelsea or Hull or Everton at the time. It, you know, I think there were, and in a way, you feel sorry for Chesterfield because they're going so well in the National League. They've had some great results to get there, and they're you know, going to Chelsea. But that's probably the tie I expected least to be on the TV, because a cup set as well as James Rose have been doing at Chesterfield, it's probably not on the cards here. But the other ones, as you said, I can't remember the last time, but I'm sure one of our listeners will be able to tell us the last time there was no non-league third round ties on the TV. But yeah, as you say, hopefully the fourth round someone will get some action, or maybe even a third round replay, and we can show the quality and the magic of non-league.
Yeah, quite. And, you know, it's certainly been another good sort of year for non-league clubs in the FA Cup, so I don't think this should sort of dampen it, really. But like you say, yeah, it's just a sort of disappointing for those teams not to sort of have their really grand sort of stage, I suppose, on the third round and being in front of the TV cameras, because that's sort of what everyone sort of always thinks of, really, in the FA Cup, having that sort of big third round tie with and everything that goes with it. Like I say, hopefully we get someone into the fourth round and it will happen then. But yeah. We'll have to wait and see.
But is that extra magic as well, isn't it? Because I'm sure Danny Hunter would disagree with me, but I'm not certain that they would have got over 4,000 people at Boreham Wood against St Albans if it wasn't on the telly, even though it was only on ITV4 on Monday evening. It does add to the extended excitement for your local non-league club.
Yeah, it does, exactly. Yeah, like you said, yeah, 4,000 there, which is a record crowd, I think I saw. So, yeah, it just goes to show what it can do. But, you know, I think, yeah, regardless, I think that at this third round stage now, I think we'll see packed houses across the board, really. You know, there'll be a massive Chesterfield following at Chelsea as well for that one, of course. So, yeah, I mean, plenty still to look forward to.
Indeed, and if you're a fan of one of those clubs, you go down as in legendary status as well as being one of those people that were actually at that game and can, you know, recall the stories for years to come. Talking of, you know, Wembley dreams, is a non-league club ever going to make it to Wembley in the FA Cup? Possibly not, but in the FA Vars, we've got 32 ties, 64 clubs dreaming of that day out at Wembley, and we both know how exciting that game is behind the scenes, so to be involved in the game at Wembley in the FA Vars final is magical, and plenty of players that will be hoping to make that next step nearer this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. Funny enough, I was looking at the date of the non-league finals day for next year, or I suppose this season, and of course, that FA Vars final will be there again alongside the FA Trophy. And, you know, as we always say, it's always a great day, you know, for non-league then. But of course, you know, a great day for the clubs that are involved. And, you know, those memories are unforgettable for those clubs who managed to reach Wembley. But, you know, at this stage now, it's sort of only a sort of pipe dream, really, isn't it? You know, you've got to try and win through in these early rounds, and then you can really start sort of dreaming. But yeah, another sort of important round of Vars action this weekend. You know, I'm sure there'll be some sort of freezing conditions and storms to deal with it somewhere across the country. But that's all part of it. And, you know, those clubs that do reach the promised land of Wembley come next summer, you know, that they'll more than think it was worthwhile. So, Yeah, looking forward to another round of the FA Cup.
Yeah, yeah, this weekend is, again, another one of those where there'll be plenty of stories to tell for the club that does make it to that Wembley final. You know, and I know we've been to some Wembley finals where it's freezing cold, but it's normally the weather's slightly nicer and warmer, but you have to go through these freezing cold, wet weekends to get there, and there'll be some players and some fans enduring that this weekend. Yeah, being a fan, there's plenty that you do have to endure over the years. You know, Southend, famed for its seaside fare, and well, the roller coaster of the football club continues this week with a transfer embargo placed on them this week due to monies owed to HMRC, I believe, accrued during the COVID pandemic.
Yeah, it sort of seems one step forward, two back at times with Southend. You know, a lot of the time it's you know, they've got this new management team in place now. Obviously, John Steele was sort of the final piece of the puzzle that went in maybe last week or the week before. You know, picked up a couple of results. They had a good win at Altrincham and then drew with Maidenhead on Tuesday. But, you know, no sooner had that result happened, yeah, obviously news of this comes through, which won't help their cause. In terms of pushing up the table and sort of trying to build for next season and beyond, really. And yeah, obviously it's very worrying as well that they have these problems. Obviously Ron Martin, is currently being investigated for alleged tax infringements, and this will come as a big blow for, you know, I think not only the supporters, because I think, you know, they're maybe in a way sort of used to being let down, but probably the new management team will see this and think, not what we signed up for, but, you know, wouldn't have sort of expected this sort of thing sort of early on, I imagine.
Yeah, a tough one this week. As you mentioned, they picked up that point in midweek, but for Kevin Mayer, trying to get his players, but trying to stay focused himself, I guess, on the games, especially with, you know, they've got a trip to Notts County this weekend, you know, one of many big games in the National League.
Yeah, obviously not easy going to Notts, who, really, really good side under Ian Birchall, and will obviously be up in the playoffs come the end of the season. Obviously, Kings Lynn made a change in manager recently and are looking to appoint, so you wonder, you know, if they get someone in, if they can stay up, what will happen. But yeah, an interesting league, really, the National League again, as usual. I think it is starting to take shape with the usual sort of suspects up in the top 10. You know, I really, really think Stockport will push on now. I saw them at Wordstone a couple of weeks ago when they won 4-1, and, you know, admittedly Wilson aren't one of the big hitters in the division, but they're no mugs. And, you know, Stockport really, really took them to the sword and looked good. And, you know, I think Dave Chandler's taking the handbrake off there a little bit, and sort of flexing the muscles of their goal-scoring players who, you know, they have an abundance. You know, the squad there is really, really impressive. So we expect them to have a right good go at promotion now. You know, I wouldn't rule them out of the title by any means, only 6 points behind Chesterfield. So long old way to go, and another good weekend, like you say, of National League football coming up.
Yeah, and there's so many variables that are still coming into this. Yeah, like with Southend, the timescales of how they get this resolved with the National League and HMRC could be an important one. I think they've got a number of players that are on loan until the end of the year. You know, under this embargo, are they going to be able to renew those players on loan, or are they going to have to be, you know, play their own academy players in that side? And then, you know, who are they going to be playing in those games? Could that affect the rest of the table everywhere? And then, as you mentioned, you've got Dover Athletic that are still on negative points at the moment at the bottom of the table. Just above them, you've got Kings Lynn without a manager. There's so many things that could change. What are we now? We're not quite halfway. Still so many chops and changes that may be made, but building up to an exciting season once again, both at the top and the bottom.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there, sort of saying for probably all of sort of Stockport's woes a little bit this season. To only be 6 points behind Chesterfield, it sort of feels a lot more like that, a lot more really in a way. But yeah, only 6 points, you know, can quickly be turned around. And like you say, at the bottom as well, it's sort of equally as interesting. Obviously, I think, you know, Dover seem pretty doomed at the moment. Kingsland are actually playing them this weekend, which, you know, is an absolute must-win for Kingsland. But yeah, like you say, yeah, an interesting time across the division. You know, look at Aldershot now, who have really picked up under Mark Moseley. You know, it wasn't going well for him at the start, but I think they've sort of settled in, and players that he's brought in have settled in, and it looks like they've sort of turned the corner somewhat. So. Yeah, interesting division as always, nationally.
Yeah, and if you look at Barnet as well, you know, Dean Brennan is still sort of wearing that interim manager's hat there. And they now 13th in the table and seem to be pulling away from that relegation zone that they appear to be doomed.
Yeah, that's right. I actually spoke to Dean Brennan this week for a piece for Sunday, and the I was just sort of saying old fashioned hard work really is as been the key to their turnaround. You know, he's not changed much there. He's only brought in striker Rob Hall and defender Sam Woods during his time in charge. And he's found a tune. Obviously, you know, he's a very experienced non-league manager, knows the divisions at steps one and two very well. Yeah, and like I say, he's turned it around, and you know, they're almost sort of in the top half now. I mean, when he took over, they hadn't even won a game yet, Barnet. So, yeah, really good turnaround there. And, you know, if they carry on going the way they're going at the moment, then, you know, they'll end up in the playoffs, which would be a massive turnaround and shock, really. Mm-hmm. But, good to see him doing well. Obviously, yeah, friend of the show, along with Gary Anderson, who's still there as well. So, sorry, Dave Anderson.
I think Gary and Gary Anderson's still there as well, yeah.
Dave Anderson's still there as well and enjoying things. So the non-league show management team ploughs on.
Yeah, right. So some would say that there maybe is someone involved with this show that knows something about football. But looking at the other fixtures this weekend as well. Yeah, you know, we were saying about the great form that Chesterfield are in there, but they've got a tough trip to Grimsby this weekend, which again, you know, if the result goes Grimsby's way, that changes the complexion again at the top of the National League there.
Yeah, it does. Big clash that, obviously. First against sixth, I think Grimsby are sixth or fifth, and but like you say, there's barely any points between them, so yeah, a win either way there would be massive at this stage of the season. You know, just in terms of changing the picture and maybe changing sort of the moods within the clubs. You know, I think that said, I think Chesterfield really are sort of flying at the moment. Obviously, have that FA Cup tie coming up, so you know, a defeat wouldn't dampen things too much, but it might just be a little bit of a reality check that you know, there's teams in the division that are more than capable of competing with them as well. Another big game, and should be a big crowd there as well.
Yeah, and another big week in non-league football. You've already mentioned a piece with Dean Brennan. Anything else we expect to read about in this weekend's non-league paper?
I also spoke to Tavin Campbell, the Woking striker, who scored 13 goals in 17, which puts him second in the top scorers chart for the top flight there, which you know, is a remarkable achievement given he's kind of come from nowhere really. He's sort of bounced around in his career a little bit. He was on loan at Halifax last season, but signed permanently for Wilson in the summer, and he's just really found his feet playing up front for the Cards. So I had a little chat with him, finding out how it's been going so well. We've also got FA Cup reaction, obviously, from the clubs we've mentioned: Kidderminster, Chesterfield, Boreham Wood and Yeovil, who are all obviously on cloud nine. We also pay tribute to Marvin Morgan, which is the really sad news this week. Former non-league striker who is really popular across football, not only for his time on the pitch, but also for what he built off it with his really successful fashion brand, Fresh Ego Kid. I spoke to Gordon Bartlett about Marvin Morgan's sort of impact at Wealdstone, because it was at Wealdstone where he came through the academy as a 16-year-old, broke into Gordon Bartlett's first team and had four really good years there, and that sort of propelled him on higher up into non-league and eventually the Football League. Mm. So it was nice sort of hearing Gordon Bartlett's thoughts on that at that time. We've got a nice piece on there on Sunday about Marvin Morgan, and also all the usual match reports, tables, results, fixtures and everything else. So, if you can get out on Sunday morning and pick up a paper, that would be much appreciated.
Yeah, I'd certainly be looking forward to it. And Marvin, a man I knew on and off the field for many, many years, and a true gent in every regard. And, I lost to non-league. The number of people that he touched, I think that was the big thing. I think that came from this week, that everybody had a good word about him, and a very sad week for all his friends and all his family and everybody that knew him. But a perfect reason to pick up the non-league paper on Sunday morning. David, thanks for joining us once again on the non-league football show, and we look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Cheers, Tim. Thank you.
And just like the best pickled onions for a Christmas buffet, that's shallots. That's it for this week. Thank you to all of my guests as ever, and thank you to all of you for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And you can find us every week on Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, wrap up warm, enjoy your football. Thank you and goodbye.
A Jibber Jabber production. J-I-B-B-A-J-A-B-B-A.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. CODA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist CODA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at CODA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.